morning. Thank you for being here. Please forgive me for having to take my glasses on and off. With them on, all I see is a blurry pool. Take them off, and it clears up. Is your God too small? Now, I think that's a very serious question, because many times in our life, we tend to not think of God as we possibly should. In Psalms 145 and verse 3, I appreciate Brother Mike reading verses 1 through 10. The psalmist there writes, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Sometimes I see and I hear things that make me wonder if people are trying to serve a God who is too small. So this morning, I want to demonstrate that God is much larger than what some understand him to be. First of all, I believe that many will serve a God who is too small in grace. Grace, unmerited favor. Some live with a burden of guilt. Some live with the weight of that guilt their entire lives. Many times it's because they feel that the severity or the frequency of their past sins was so great that God could not possibly forgive. In fact, I know I have said this before, but I went to preaching school with a gentleman who I have talked to several years ago who is no longer faithful, and his statement to me was, "God will not forgive me." What a sad statement. This man believes that God is so small in his grace and in his mercy that he cannot be forgiven. I don't know of any crime that is worse than murder. When you literally take someone's life, yeah, we may harm people physically, mentally, but in time, that physical hurt or that mental hurt many times kind of passes away. It may always be there, but if you take someone's life, you take their everything. And the reason I say murder is perhaps the greatest sin. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at what he did. He not only stood there while Stephen was being stoned, but he also went about arresting Christians, men and women, put his voice in their death, cast them into prison, but yet God's grace and God's mercy saved him. Some live with such a burden weight of guilt that they simply cannot believe and they do not understand. They have it in their mind that they are so vile that God will never forgive them. You know, I have known many hopeless people because they have felt unforgivable. Now, if this describes you, if you truly do believe that you are unforgivable, I believe you need to know that God is much bigger than you ever imagined him to be. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul, as we read here, was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. He was injurious to the church. He had people put to death. He had people cast into prison, all because of their belief and their faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. But yet even this man found grace in the eyes of God. So let me ask you this. Are you worse than Paul was? How many people have you cast into prison because of their faith in Jesus? How many people have you literally put to death because of their belief in Jesus? I'd venture to say that no one here has ever done that. So don't sit and think that God is so small that he cannot forgive you of your sin. Notice, if you will, Acts chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. As for Saul, again, here's Paul. He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Paul was doing everything in his power to stamp out the way. Are you that bad? Then we read in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciple Jesus, went into the high priest. He went into the high priest for a reason. And he desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, Paul was a menace to the church. He was a murderer. He was a blasphemer. But yet, he found grace in the eyes of God. And then in Acts 26 and verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Do you think that your sin that you may have in your life right now is so great that God is not going to forgive you? If that's the case, then you must be worse than Paul, who became an apostle of Jesus Christ. Many people become hopeless because they feel that they are unforgivable. But we need to understand that God is much bigger than anything that we can imagine that he would not forgive us for if we ask. John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And of his fullness have all we received. And grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. God's grace is more powerful than you can imagine. Secondly, some serve a God who is too small in power. The reason some people do not pray is because they really don't think it will make a difference. Many people truly believe that I'm so small and so insignificant, and the powerful Almighty God is too busy to listen to poor little old me. I'm so insignificant that God does not have the time. Do you feel like that? Sometimes do you feel that God is just too busy to hear your prayers, so why should I pray? Why should I even take the effort? God's not going to listen to me. Why should I take the time to pray when I know that God, because of his great power, is not going to worry about little old me and the little insignificant problems that I have in my life? Again, if that's the way you feel, then you need to know that God is much stronger than you realize. You know, too many times we don't look and realize how powerful our Father is. You know, back when we were small little children, we looked at our dads as being the most powerful, the strongest person that we know. Because in our young eyes, he was. We need to understand that as God's children, that God is so powerful that he will listen even to the smallest of us, the most insignificant person that we might feel that we are. God still listens. God is much stronger than you realize. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. When we look out into the night sky, have y'all noticed early in the morning when the moon's starting to rise? You see Venus right next to it? And then the galaxy Regulus, I believe? Our Father made all that. When we think about the power that our Father has, then why should we feel like that we are so insignificant that he's not going to care about us. God made all things. God is all powerful. When we look at the power of God, we need to realize that even though he is so powerful, that we are still precious, each and every one of us, in his sight. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, I don't know about you, but when Jeremiah writes here that he says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, that includes me. It includes you. Is there anything too hard for God? Jeremiah asked a very good question. Is there anything too hard for God? Well, the answer is no. Then we can go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now to him, God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. It is very sad when we as God's children believe that God's power is just simply too small. The all-powerful, all. Nothing left out. That's our God. All-powerful. Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We're going to start reading around verse 16. James chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elias was weak. We are weak. But notice what Elias did here. He was like a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Our Father did that. Elias prayed that the rain would stop, and it did for 3 years and 6 months. Then he goes on. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brothers and sisters, if our God is powerful enough to stop rain for 3.5 years, what makes you think that he's not powerful enough to care about you? James chapter 4 and verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Too many times when we pray, we pray amiss. We pray for things that really we shouldn't be praying for. James here says that we receive not because we ask amiss. We ask in the wrong way. We ask for the wrong things. Our God is not small in power. Let us not equate the power of God with what power we think we have. And then thirdly, We serve a God who is, many times people will serve a God who is too small to care. Some people feel distant from God and see their relationship to Him through a group, through a church, but they do not have a relationship individually. You know, many people, their relationship with God is through a group or the church. They don't have an individual relationship with God. Their God is through a church or a group. They have not made their service to God personal. Again, if this is the way you feel, that the God you serve is too small and too caring, you need to know that God is much more caring and personal than you realize. Luke chapter 12, verse 7, "But even the very hairs of your head are numbered." And some, like myself, don't have as many hairs as I used to have, but they're still numbered. "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows." We need to understand that God cares for us. If He cares so much to even to know how many hair we have on our head, then what makes you think that He's not caring enough about you personally? 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." The word there, casting, literally is to throw down or to cast upon. In other words, it is to place all of your cares, your anxieties, and your worries on Him. It's sad. It's very sad. When we are having a problem, we have issues, whatever, and we pray to God, "God, I'm going to leave it in your hands." And what happens when we say amen? We go back to fretting and to worrying and to about just the thing that we said we's leaving in God's hands. We need to understand that God cares for us. God's providential care for us is real. But too many times we serve a God who we believe is too small in caring. Micah chapter 7, verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the arraignment of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Who is a God like unto thee?" A God who cares. A God who's full of grace. A God who has great power and is willing to care for us even though we're sinful creatures. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not Him." Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Brothers and sisters, if you have a problem with the care of God, then I believe you need to do a little bit more study. And lastly, some serve a God who is too small in glory. Some talk about God, they petition God and come into his presence to worship him, failing to realize how glorious God is. When we come here and worship every Lord's Day, do we come in here failing to realize how glorious our God is? All we have to do is look out into nature. Look at the human body to see how glorious our God is. It's sad when we come in to worship God, but yet we feel that he is small in glory. If your worship and prayers lack an overwhelming sense of reverence, then you need to know that God is much glorious, or more glorious than you realize. One last verse. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. Is your God too small in grace, too small in power, too small in care, and too small in glory? Brothers and sisters, if that's the case, then we have an issue. Because God is not small in grace. God is all-powerful. He created all things. And God has great care for his children. And God is glorious in all of his magnificence. Let us not be guilty of dumbing down the God of heaven and earth. We tend to reduce God into something manageable and comfortable. We like to fashion God like ourselves. But God is gracious, powerful, caring, and full of glory. We need to get a better grip of who God really is. And if we do that, it will transform our lives for the better. This morning, if you're here, if you're not a Christian, I hope that you realize that God is caring for you, that he wishes and he hopes that you will obey the gospel, being baptized and having your sins washed away. Or if you're here, already a child of God, but perhaps you have the feeling that God is simply too small, and you wish the prayers of the saints, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?